and welcome to the post-election edition of the East Texas News Roundup. I'm Valerie Riddell, the news director for Polk County Publishing Company, and my crew with post-election hangover, Chris Edwards. How are you, Chris?
I'm hanging in there, Valerie. Howdy, everybody. It was a long, hard night, but an even longer and tougher midterm. It seemed like forever in 5 days. Such is the way campaigns go nowadays.
Jason had a pretty long night over in Trinity County.
Yes, I did. I survived, but then on my way to Livingston.
It was too much on your car.
It was way too much on my car. I had a blowout. I had to get the spare put on it.
It's that long commute from the Groveton News to the courthouse.
Absolutely.
Such a
how is Houston journey. County, Megan?
It's good. People are happy. It was a late night, but we're here.
And Blossom.
You know how what my first name is. I don't want to get confused this time.
We have a new nickname to
announce. Yes, you got
Jacob McAdams had a very long night. I think you got your results last of all of us.
No, Amanda said I was the second, well, maybe last results, but I was second to last to turn it in, so one of y'all is a slacker.
It was not me.
It wasn't me.
It was Chris.
Well, you see what it was.
Chris there was the race stands of our box. Group.
There's one box in Tyler County. Not me, folks. The election folks in Tyler County at that one box.
Which, by the way, huge, huge, ginormous, big ups, shout out to the folks who work in the county clerk's offices. Trinity County, the election administrator, does she even have more people? Or is
absolutely.
It just Priscilla? Man, I got a new view on that other job as I was sitting on the hardest bench in the universe, Judge Murphy, down in the basement of the Polk County Courthouse. That's a bad job. We need what's his name to come over. They were lifting and toting, and they deal with a lot of folks who work once every other year or so, and no one follows instructions.
No.
Bless them. I mean, they get some credit for showing up and working a 14-hour day, yeah. But there's multiple moving parts on that. And
shout out to our good friend in Tyler County and occasional columnist for the Booster and County Extension agent, Jacob Spivey, who was one of our election judges and did it like a champ and the trooper that he is. So here's to you, Jacob.
And I want to give a shout out to Crystal Dew. She helped out with election administrator Priscilla Raspberry. Mm-hmm. She was walking from the county courthouse annex across the street to the county courthouse back and forth several times to write down results from each mailbox.
Yikes, because that's not 287 is not friendly in the dark of night.
No, it's not.
And we're having a few technical issues. So we've changed seats several times. We've all got an election hangover. Everybody worked till about midnight last night, our Tuesday night. And so Jason has our most volume.
Sigh.
But we're having some, I almost made it through without going crazy. So Chris, our magical musician, is fiddling around with things, and we're making big voice Jason have the
weakest of the microphones.
The weakest of the microphones. So we may just have him being like a cheerleader and just screaming so that the rest of our mics pick it up.
So our music person is fiddling?
Yes.
He's fiddling. So he's a fiddler. There we go.
Does our mutual friend, Dan, do you play the fiddle? I know he's banjo and he plays guitar, but he has the same strings on it from like the 1992 or something.
Oh, yeah.
But
I don't know if Dan plays the fiddle.
I know he likes to go to a lot of fiddling. He fiddles around a lot. But
he fiddles around a lot.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to do if you got one of those devil's boxes. You know, there's a lot of contests to hit
Devil's box.
Yeah, that's what they used to call it.
You guys could jam out sometime.
Who is Dan?
Dan, he was former publisher
of the Madisonville Meteor, and then he went to the Elgin Courier.
Yeah, cool.
We both worked with him.
And he was always, we attended a convention frequently, and he and I both had frequently had unwanted attention by the opposite sex. So we quickly decided to just partner up and.
For safety reasons.
For safety. Mm-hmm. Partner up for safety and ex-husbands. But
you know, it's funny though, there's so many different, you know, journalism and the music business or musicians. There's a lot of musicians in journalism and like you know, I found out that one of our representatives for one of our legal counsel, he and his band, the Footnotes, they opened for my band once upon a time a year ago at a club in Austin. And I thought they were really cool. And then we've got
the lovely Jim Hemphill, who will entertain you by night and sue your ass off by day.
Sue your ass off by day. There you go. Then my good buddy Kendall, who used to be the editor over at the Daily Sentinel in Nacogdoches, he was the lead singer for the Mighty Beefmasters back in the day. And I'm sure there's many, many others, but it seems like there's a lot of kind of intermingling there. So very cool.
I do some mad karaoke skills. Does that count?
Do you?
Heck yeah.
Any Man of Mine is my go-to.
Yeah.
Mid-90s Shania Twain. Heck yeah.
My younger daughter used to do a mean Any Man of Mine at about 8 years old. Mm. And and what was Blue Eyes something. Baby's Got Blue Eyes.
Baby Blue, maybe?
Leanne Rimes.
Well, yeah, there is that
Blue
one song.
By Blue. Leanne Rimes.
Yeah, maybe that song, so. Blue.
Maybe so. All right. So who had the biggest surprise? David Brandon got on the filled the unexpired term on the Sanderson County Commissioner's Court. Was that a heated race over there?
Not particularly. I mean, he got 1,500 votes, whereas the other two did not even break 500.
Oh, ouch.
So... and the thing is, that was actually the only race that had a third party as far as the local races were concerned. They had, of course, they had a Democratic candidate, and then they also had someone running as independent. So,
Fritz Faulkner will be county judge for 4 years.
Yes, Fritz Faulkner won the county judge race over Earl Brown. And because Earl Brown ran, he is actually going to essentially be passing the torch for his position as mayor to Charles Minton.
Okay.
Which, from what I've heard, that might actually be happening this coming Monday.
Okay. So. Yeah, those have very quick turnarounds for city council races.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have local races? I, on 3 hours sleep, did you have an election in Crockett?
Yeah, it was just, there were two spots that were contested.
Mm-hmm.
One for our county clerk, Terry Meadows won. And then for the, I have this all written down. Alton, shout out to Alton Porter. He was the go-to person last night. I was watching the state races on Facebook, and he was down there at the courthouse.
Yeah. We all need an Alton. Can we just run him through the copier a few times? Yes.
Seriously, he is.
But let me give you, Megan has a cheat sheet in front of her, and it's written like we would write for the newspaper. Oh. But you know, when you're on mornings, on hangover mornings like this, and we're not even in the morning, it's the evening, but you got to do that double space 30-point type, Chica. Mm-hmm.
And it was the county treasurer. There we go.
Okay.
Both the Republicans won that.
Yeah.
Nothing too shocking. Right.
That reminds me, I should point out that Sanderson County, we also had the House District 18 race, and that also ended with Ernest Bell's winning re-election against Fred Lamond.
Yeah.
And so basically the entire county is painted red.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, that's no surprise.
I wouldn't say that's entirely a surprise because it wasn't even like 4 years ago that they had quite a few Democrats.
They were late to make the Republican switch that everybody else did. But see, when I interned at the Texas Senate, there was 31 senators. There were four of them were Republicans in 1983. You would go home and you would call home to your parents when you met a Republican.
Yeah, you know, most of these people now, it's people take it for granted. Oh, well, Texas is a red state, you know, red state this, red state that. But it wasn't always that way.
And it hasn't been that long because there were a few people who were, you know, that are still in politics, but they were a Democrat back then. Like Rick Perry was a House member in those days. And he was a Democrat, but...
Even Trinity County's own Doug Page, when he first got elected as judge, he was a Democrat.
Right.
Well, Trinity County's another example. I mean, they switched over. There was, I guess, a red tsunami overtook Trinity County roughly the same time as Sanjak. Mm-hmm. It was been within the last decade or so.
Polk County
really
went.
Within the last six or
Polk
seven
County
years.
Polk County went quickly. Mm-hmm. But I guess one of the biggest shockers, you know, we've all, by the time you're listening to this, we will have all talked about a little bit surprising at how the Republicans kept all the state races because I thought like Sid Miller, ag commissioner, was particularly vulnerable. Yeah, but everyone went back. Dan Patrick, I know teachers had organized against Dan, and he still hung on. But it was only by 5 points. So if you look at the difference between Dan Patrick and his Democratic opponent and Greg Abbott and Lupe Valdez, you can see that, you know, hopefully he can read the tea leaves that Texans aren't particularly excited with his recent performance.
Right. It's interesting to note with the gubernatorial race, particularly, that Lupe Valdez ran a race without a lot of funding, and she came closer to beating Abbott than Wendy Davis did in 2014 with a lot of funding and a lot of more attention to her campaign.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, it's
well, single issue, when you talk about right to choose at all, it's it can be political suicide.
Right, especially in Texas.
But also, I think it helped Lupe Valdez that she used to be in law enforcement. She's a former Dallas County sheriff.
Yes, and she's been elected on a much smaller scale. But I think there is a tendency across the state to ignore just how international the city Dallas and Houston are.
Right.
It is. And Austin's becoming that way, too.
Yeah. And Harris County had the shocker of the night with the 27-year-old Lena Hidalgo winning the county judge's race there. Her first time to ever hold office. Ed Emmett had been extremely popular in Harris County and guided that county through Hurricane Harvey. And I think she almost came from nowhere, but she definitely got a boost from the blue tide. But
let's talk about that for a minute, because not just here in Texas, but nationwide, you're seeing evidenced in this midterm that the electorate is changing. The younger people are getting involved, and a lot of diversity is represented in some of these House seats that have been taken. Like, for example, you know, whatever you want to say about her, good, bad, or indifferent, Alexandria Octavio Cortez is 29 years old and has a House seat, youngest ever. Mm-hmm. And then you have a lot more other factors of diversity. You know, you've got a member of the House now from Michigan who is a Muslim woman. Mm-hmm. And you've got several, I think over 100 women were elected to seats in the House. So the electorate is changing, and I think that this midterm is a good representation of that. One of our colleagues, Jim Powers, who his name's not Jack, it's Jim, but he's a gem of all trades. He's our web guy for the company,
yes.
Our IT guy, great photographer, writer, and also the person responsible for editing these ramblings together that you're listening to. He and I were talking about this, and he's long contested that the old men need to stop getting elected. And, you know, at first it sounded like ageism to me, which I'm not down with, but I can see where he's coming from. The dominant voting block now are the Gen Xers and the millennials now, and the boomers are dying off. And I mean, as much as we want to think that they're going to live forever and they themselves are going to live forever, it's just not the case. And, yeah, so you've got the younger people kind of coming up and getting involved.
And hopefully that this, as we have browner women in office, hopefully it will encourage a little bit more consensus building and getting away from binary thinking. Because
absolutely,
we were talking about earlier that, you know, I saw it a lot in political advertising before the election, but it was either you are for a big, beautiful, huge, ginormous wall, or you are for open borders. And to me, there is a ton of room in the middle there.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, I am diehard a property rights person, and there's a lot of huge ranches right there on the border that the Rio Grande is the water for the cattle.
Yes.
And when you fence off, you know, you stop, you take that ranch out of cow-calf operations and take a bunch of folks' land away from them that's been in their family for centuries in some cases. So, you know, I think we do need border control. Let me just say that so nobody can put words in my mouth, even though a friend does it every time he calls me that, you know, you're open borders. No, ma'am, not for that. But it is, I think there's a whole lot more effective ways to do it than, you know, creating another physical border.
Right. To quote Ian McGregor, Ewan McGregor, not Ian, Ewan McGregor, only a Sith deals in absolutes.
Right.
So there.
Right.
Exactly.
You have to be. We have to be building consensuses and
We do. And we must remember that there is a middle ground, and centrists do still exist, even though they seem extinct. If you only pay attention to Facebook or political advertising, this, you know, us versus them dichotomy, it might be good red meat to throw to one person's constituents or the others, but it ultimately gets us nowhere. It's not good for the long term. And the middle ground, I think, is the majority in this country.
There's a lot of ways to get things done besides flame throwing.
Absolutely. No, or tearing the building or tearing the building down to get through the door, you know. It's not working. Or it hasn't worked.
It's
for
like
a long
what
time.
Ralph Macchio told Tanner Buchanan in the miniseries Cobra Kai. You gotta find that balance.
Yes, yes. Everything's about balance. And
well, speaking of looking at, you know, we talk about looking at the left or the right of an issue.
Sure.
What did y'all think about seeing in the state election? We had quite a few libertarian candidates.
I know. I noticed that last night.
Very encouraging.
Yeah. I brought some numbers with me. Because this is the last time that anybody could straight party vote. And I was frankly shocked at how many people in Polk County voted straight party. We had 17 people vote straight party libertarian. Out of how many? Like 5,000 cast a straight party ticket. But, you know, 94-47 voted straight party Republican, no shock there. 2,300, just short of 2,300, voted straight party Democrat.
That's a
which
shock.
I have not seen anything near that. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to see 5 or something. It seemed like there was 5 people out of the reservation who voted straight party Democrat all the time. But, you know, that's up tremendously from before. And our here in Polk County, our friend James White got reelected. So
good man. Good
you
man.
Know, he'll be back.
Hats off to you, James. Congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, over here, we had about 22 people in Sanjak that went straight party libertarian. And that was opposed to 951 Democrat and 5,000 for Republican that voted straight ticket. And generally, we had about, I'd say, a total of like just north of 9,000 voting, you know, in general for the elections. Yeah. And usually the consensus was that you'd have about close to about 7,000 to 7,500 voting for Republican candidates and about 1,500, give or take, for a Democratic candidate. And then the rest of it was Libertarian, which was interesting. We had I was surprised to see that because, I mean, you know, usually anytime I go to a voting booth, you know, it's like if there's no one there that you want, you had to write in whoever you felt you wanted to get it. You know, right. And when I saw, you know, on a straight ticket, it was like, you know, Democrat, Republican, Libertarian. I was like, Libertarian? I was like, there's probably like one person's running Libertarian or whatever. Yeah. And find out, no, they're actually in most of the positions. And I was like, that's
statewide races.
That was awesome.
For many years, I lived down in Ron Paul's district and on the
Lake
coast.
Jackson.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot he got right because he was like really a libertarian who ran as a Republican.
Right. Real staunch constitutionalist, though.
Yes.
I mean, he ran as a Republican out of convenience, but I mean, very socially liberal and very, you know, very constitutionalist. I like Dr. Paul.
Ron Paul was awesome.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. His son, on the other hand, I don't know so much about him.
Well, it made for, made kept, me, kept life very exciting in the newsroom because we had Ron Paul. And the most dead-eyed human being I've ever looked at, Tom DeLay.
Tom DeLay. Oh, my. You say that name some places around Austin, they still want to punch you.
Yeah.
Is it like saying Voldemort in Harry Potter? It's like you're
yes,
not supposed
yes.
to say
yes.
it.
He,
very good
I think
analogy.
He, Voldemort was
yes.
Was created with Tom DeLay in mind.
So speaking of Voldemort and such, you know, one of the races that got epic attention on a nationwide level that surprised everybody in its outcome. Ted Cruz ultimately won, but the Senate seat. Ted Cruz, of course, our junior senator, the incumbent, won. But Beto O'Rourke gave him a really good fight and was leading most of the night until about 9:30 or so, is from what I'm watching.
He really ran an excellent race.
Mm-hmm. A clean race, very positive.
Agree or disagree? But I mean, and we'll see more of him in one form or fashion.
Agreed.
In the next cycle, but hopefully Cruz got a message there too because. There's a tremendous amount of Texans that aren't happy with his performance. And I just got to say, because a lot of times our role in the newsrooms is helping our readers connect with their elected officials.
Absolutely.
And you can't make a connection there. I mean, comparing Cruz with John Cornyn or Cruz's predecessor, Kay Bailey Hutchison. You know, if somebody had trouble with their VA benefits or something like that, Social Security disability thing, that is a vital for function that the senators and representatives perform. And I will have to say that because of the way Cruz works, the reps wind up with a lot more on their back.
Well, I would argue that constituent services is the most important role of, you know, a member of either chamber, because at the very
really,
basic
it's level, not shutting down the government.
And reading Green Eggs and Ham. Well, seriously, though, at the very granular level of everything, look who elects these people and look what they're electing them for. It's about we the people.
Right. Well, I just look forward to hearing if you folks, if you were a strong supporter of Cruz or one of our other folks that, you know, Sid Miller, what do you love about Sid Miller? Tell me so that we can kind of recalibrate how we cover to see if he's still doing that for right. you. Because that Ag Commission is an important job that they do a lot with tourism. Oh, yeah. They do a lot with regulating weights and scales like.
Oh, no, you finished yeah. that. I was just going to add on to this as well. Speaking of Ted Cruz, he was actually in Cleveland about a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And that was back when I was with The Advocate. And admittedly, I was supposed to cover that. But lo and behold, I got sick the night before. So Vanessa ended up having to cover that one for me, which I felt bad. But I mean, she understood. I was just too sick to do anything. But funny thing about this was it was part of the Reagan dinner that Sanderson County's Republican Party does, which mm-hmm. they were holding it in Cleveland at the Civic Center for mm-hmm. a while because that was their best venue. But anyway, that has been the and she could tell you a bit more about it because, you know, she was there. But that has been the only time that we have seen the Reagan dinner, as far as I can tell, where there were actually protesters and there were people protesting mm-hmm. Ted Cruz. Mm-hmm. And she, like I said, she can tell you more about it. I don't know what the exact situation was, but I think it's enough to say, I mean, the people that they've had, I mean, they've had Governor Abbott there before. Mm-hmm. Nobody, I don't recall. I was there for that one. I don't recall anyone there.
Yeah. I've been to a couple of Abbott things and there weren't protesters. Right. Megan, you've interviewed Cruz before.
Yeah. No, I was there at that Reagan dinner. It was my first big thing to cover for
this
company.
Okay. So yeah, Megan knows because she didn't see me. So there you go. There you have it.
And I covered a Cruz function here in Livingston
just recently, like a week.
Right? Right at the end of early voting, mm-hmm. he came in and they packed out the conference center at Camp at Choye, and it was but it was a cheerleading function, and they sort of kind of tried to boot me that I wasn't on their media list, but I was already warmly embraced by the representative and a couple of sheriffs and district attorney of Tyler County. So they figured out maybe I really was real.
Well, speaking of Ted Cruz, this is more of a humorous thing. I've always found him to have a resemblance to Bill Murray.
Bill Murray?
Yes.
I see it. Man.
It's funny you say that because I never hear Bill Murray. I hear he looks like the guy from the Munsters.
Right, yeah, Grandpa Munster.
But I think it would have been hilarious if Beto or Dykeman resembled Richard Dreyfuss. And you could have had a What About Bob?
What About Bob?
Oh, yeah. Well, give Beto a few years and maybe, I don't know, he'll have to get shorter to
he'll
look
have to grow
like
out the gray beard. Yeah.
He'll have to get shorter to look like Dreyfuss. But anyway, but I think Beto will be back and he'll definitely energized because I mean, I think it's very healthy to have a two-party system. You know, somewhere along the line, we have really gotten virulent about our political opposition, and it's an arbitrary line. It's not defining like right-handed or left-handed or.
It's not a blood sport, folks. Yeah. Not a blood sport.
I voted for just as many Democrats as I did Republicans.
I'm all over the place. I'd vote for a couple of Martians sometimes.
Right.
But
they had a good enough line of BS. You know, I would too.
I've been voting for some
libertarians. Because, I mean, to some extent, politics is a game and they start spouting stuff just to keep their job.
It's a zero sum game.
You know, it's a.
It's the ultimate trash talking sport.
Yeah. I just think we have to kind of all. Sometimes we have to be the grown ups for the kids who are playing the game.
Right.
And we kind of turned into the. the fans at youth sports that are fighting and throwing things. So we got to move on and realize who we're hurting is hurting ourselves.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of people view politics as the tagline for Alien versus Predator. No matter who wins, we lose.
Humanity.
Well,
and it used to be that way, you know, when it was kind of like, or you would flip a coin in the voting box.
Right. And it used to be that, you know, with the two major parties, they basically only disagreed about economic matters, but they were still friends at the end of the day. And now it's like they're sworn enemies. And it's just, this is, it's toxic, folks.
Well, and you have one side toxic. Because even with love, folks, when the package bombs were being delivered everywhere, everyone was proclaiming that, hey, that had to be a false flag maneuver, and you know, Democrats were doing it to themselves, right, and whatever. And it's like, nope, it was somebody who was activated by all of the animosity. So,
isn't this the guy that the guy that claimed that Trump he thought was like a secret Jew or something like that?
No,
was
he's one a of Trump.
Them. No, this guy Caesar Toyek. Yeah, he's a very ardent Trump supporter
and very anti-Semitic.
There's so a lot of weird stuff going on.
He loves
that.
Him some Trump, and he does not like Jews or anybody who's non-white. And the guy used his career, his big career move. I mean, he was DJing,
a male dancer.
Yeah, he ran a troupe of male dancers. So. Yeah. He's late to the faith there.
I'm ready for my Facebook to be back to normal.
Yes.
Ready for your friends to start acting like
friends
again, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I just sit back and just watch everyone tear each other apart. It's entertaining for me.
Oh, well, yeah, me too. Call
me a sociopath, but
well, it's hard to watch.
I guess that's really maybe my one real girl trait. Stop fighting.
I love the fact that we have that contract where we can't comment, or post anything political. I love that.
You like our social media policy?
Yes, I do. Yes. It is the best thing that ever happened to this.
Well, and it's because of the climate that we're in. Exactly. It's kind of like I think everyone in our office votes regularly, but yet people act like it's, if you vote for the purple pajama party, then you can't possibly accurately report a car accident.
Well, and as journalists, you know, we're supposed to present everything from an unbiased viewpoint.
Right.
And if we're posting stuff on Facebook that, you know, portrays that we're for one side or the other, then it's almost hypocritical of us to try to report things in an unbiased manner. You know, we almost have to be unbiased.
Well, and it's just like being a parent almost. You can accurately report what's going on, but still love all your kids the same.
Exactly.
Even though you do tend to kind of have a favorite.
But. Right.
Well, it's like in all the parades, and this might seem kind of funny, but this is like how my philosophy is for politics, is that it's like, look, bud, I report what just happened. That's it. Mm-hmm. So like the parades when the parties have their floats out, mm-hmm, I take pictures of them, but you will probably never see me use them in my final product. The only time I would ever have done it would be if it was like the time I covered the Dairy Day parade in Cleveland, where, you know, that was where the parades, when we did them for the Advocate, they were photos only. So usually it's like you want to get at least 10. Mm-hmm. So it's like I'm snapping shots, like, okay, got that flow. And I'm starting working back, and I'm like, okay, so next one. Where's the rest of them? And like, I looked at the guy next to me and said, is that it? And he's like, yeah, that was it. So I literally had 10. I had 10 in the paper because there were only 10 floats, period. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's
happened, you know, a few times. But and it's heavy sigh.
Yeah.
How did we get here? Can we stop now?
People are just very angry, I think. Right. And to some extent, I will say, I think that a lot of people want to be angry, if that
they
sounds
like
weird.
That. Well, it's a big, I mean, biochemistry-wise, there's a big thing there. But, and, you know, for all of the media bashing, which still happens to us, even though we're a little old bitty company, we have, for everybody who thinks that we're a Democrat left-leaning institute, we have profoundly right people at every location.
Right.
Yes.
And it is, so saying that it's all one way, you know, I invite you to stop by and visit. We will show you that most people are in the middle, but each of us has at each location, you have somebody who is going to always pull that, you know, Trump's not near far right enough.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's that all that has been interesting too. But of course, then the common insult is that, you know, if you believe this, then, you know, like they'll say, well, you're a Trump supporter, and that's like their way of calling you stupid, mm-hmm. you know. And it's like it's one of those things where it's like we keep doing these sorts of things to each
and
other.
And I don't think it's. And I don't think any, you know, I don't think that people voted for Trump because they're stupid. I think there is, and there was in the, leading up to this race, a massive amount of misinformation being deliberately circulated. And it was not, in most cases, I can't think of a case where it was an established traditional media outlet like a newspaper or Newsweek magazine, you know, one of those old school folks or NBC Nightly News. We have a bunch of new media who has an agenda and does report to that agenda. We have a lot of people on our social media who consider themselves the resident experts in everything. There's a lady tearing up a friend of mine on social media saying, you know, we all should love the elections because political ads is how newspapers get their money out of the. That's how candidates buy off the newspapers.
Right.
And it's like, nope.
You know, you're talking about the traditional media outlets versus kind of the fringe element, a lot of these online news sources. And I use that with quote mm-hmm. brackets.
They can't see your air quotes.
they can't see my air quotes, but I am air quoting news sources, you know, whether you're talking about Alex Jones or Politico or Breitbart or whatever. And the sad thing about it now is a lot of that has permeated mainstream thought. Like the term globalist 5 years ago was relegated to the fringe, the darker corners right. of the internet. But now, you know, I've got a lot of Republican friends who use that term regularly and have you know,
the nationalist term, is not a good term.
Nationalist
people.
Is if not a good
the,
term.
The term you want to go for is patriotic.
Patriotic or populist, you know, but
populist
not,
is good,
not
but
nationalist.
Nationalist, nope. And, you know, when I think of globe, when I hear the word global, I think of all the stuff we learned in little bitty Girl Scouts, you know, that everyone in the world is your neighbor. I mean, right. the world has shrunk to an extent. You can get on the internet now and talk to somebody in Australia or Africa mm-hmm. or anywhere.
So, well, if you yeah. really look into the history of the term as it's applied today, it's really a very anti-Semitic code dog whistle way it's used now. And it's just strange, but telling of the times that it has become a mainstream term that's bandied about. And much like socialist is now, you know, you hear people use the term socialist all the time who have not the first clue about what actual socialism is or a real leftist. It's like, oh, if you're a Democrat, and you're a socialist, the same thing was you get, you know, a lot of people on the left saying, oh, well, if you're a Republican, you're a fascist, you know, and it just doesn't work like that.
Or they take all the things that we need to kind of group together as a community to get some kind of economy and scale for healthcare or roads or right. picking up the trash, you know, that quickly becomes social, you know, labeled as socialist because...
Well, they're more, they'd rather have a wall built than take care of people or tend to existing infrastructure projects, really. You know, they would rather have a big, beautiful wall constructed along our
Well, I mean,
border.
I just think it's a big part of our problem with immigration is we have got to take a look line by line at the rules for inside the immigration department. Right. How do you get here? Who comes in? Who do we want? Who do we leave? Because otherwise we can stand soldiers shoulder to shoulder on the wall, have a giant electric fence with a guillotine on top. But as hard as it is for the folks that we want going back and forth, the people with tremendous talent or abilities, they can't get in.
Here's one thing I will comment on that to look at it hypothetically. So when we look at border patrol and mm-hmm. you know, border control, technically not patrol. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. If you support putting up walls, you know, What is the common accusation? You're racist. Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of the absolutists will say, you know, mm-hmm. like we were talking about earlier. So here's my hypothetical to that. Okay. What if a white person comes here illegally from Europe?
They do it all the time.
So if I'm against that, how am I racist? That's my issue on that. It's not a race issue when right. you know, a lot of people think. And I understand where, because, you know, we do, you know, obviously we do have people south who are
Texas,
Hispanic. You know,
we just assume that everything, you know, is that everybody coming in illegally is Latino.
Right.
But it's, I mean, I know Swedish people who've come here illegally. Craig Ferguson on TV openly admitted he lived here in the United States illegally for years and years and years. And nobody ever made a big deal out of it because the Scottish accent is so charming. But, but it is absolutely, you have our hospital here in Livingston, you know, pays for people to come here because we are so short on nurses. We bring in nurses from the Philippines. Livingston ISD has brought in people from Latin America to teach advanced Spanish. I mean, there are a lot of jobs in this country that people, natives or other people, don't want to do. And typically, an immigrant will do those just for a chance to be here.
Well, it's like my when I was in college, I had modern Asian history, mm-hmm. and illegal immigration was actually brought up. My my professor, she actually had mentioned that China, like the illegal Chinese immigration population, actually was very close to exceeding Hispanic populations.
Yeah.
Until
there's
China.
There's a huge illegal Asian population because they are a very family-centric culture. And when you tell them, you know, chain migration is directly targeted at Asians. Because when you tell them they cannot, they like to bring their entire family. And when you tell them they can't, they'll just get them a visitor visa and they'll stay.
Well, see, the way she explained this was that China itself actually cracked down on that. So yeah. That's... which, I mean, there's, you know, a lot of people could probably have a field day talking about China and everything.
Well, and I'm not talking specifically about China, but Indonesia and other places.
Right,
I mean, it's
right.
It's a fairly similar culture. And, you know, you have in Dallas, I know lots of folks that are, you know, they've been told that the last niece or nephew can't come over. No criminal record. You know, 97 family mm-hmm. members here in the States are right there in Dallas. But all of a sudden, because we have a new president, that last person can't come. You know, they've already signed a waiver. They won't be on public assistance. You know, there's just dog whistles.
And, you know, going back to the misinformation that's rampant, especially online, social media and whatnot, there seems to be this idea that spread that, oh, well, the illegals are using up all of our resources, these entitlement benefits or whatever, which is not the case. If you're here illegal, eligible for those kinds of things.
But guess what? You do shop at HEB.
Well, of course you do. But these, you know, the welfare, SNAP, food stamp benefits, whatever have you, Medicare, if you have no papers, no proof, documentation, mm-hmm. citizenship, you're not. And that's a law that was passed in 96. But yet somehow a lot of people on the Book of Face and Twitter and whatnot seem to think that illegals are taking all of our government benefits from us. Just people are wont to complain about things non-existent.
I'll speak unbiased on that. Mm-hmm. I worked at Berkshire Brothers for mm-hmm. about 5 years. Mm-hmm. As far as welfare is concerned, you know, mm-hmm. I'm when you're in Berkshire Brothers, you see a lot of people using WIC, which mm-hmm. is, you know, it's along the same lines. Basically, you will see a lot of people on WIC abusing that. Very quick, and it doesn't like white or otherwise.
Well, you know, I mean, how do you know how? I mean, because I know there's a lot, but is it because you know them personally and you know they have a brand new car and a nice house?
I
mean, I know how the WIC program works. I'm just wondering how you detect the abuse as a.
Well, and what I mean is, like, you know, you will see them getting things that, you know, they don't need, you know, that WIC will not cover, mm-hmm. You know, like alcohol or cigarettes, that right. sort of thing. And, you know, whereas, that's kind of where, you know, you're kind of sitting there thinking, you know, this is a program that's meant for you to use because that's, you know, supposed to help you when you can't support yourself. But mm-hmm. you've clearly got some money there. You know,
yeah.
alcohol and cigarettes are not a necessity.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I know some people will jokingly debate that on on alcohol, but really it's
and
not.
It really is a thorny issue mm-hmm. that when you see somebody who's getting a benefit, whether it's SNAP or food stamps or WIC,
right.
And then they turn around and they spend their limited, because I mean, clearly they don't have a lot of resources,
right.
but they spend their limited resources on lottery tickets, cigarettes, and beer. It's challenging, but there's kind of you just kind of have to take the pragmatic Christian
this
point of view and say,
people
hey,
are gonna leave their lives the way they're going to live them.
You have to kind of be the example and love them through it.
And the thing is,
just love them more, Jacob.
I mean, the thing is, too, I'm not saying that to sound down on anyone that is on those programs because mm-hmm. I understand there are people who just they need help. You just have to have a leg up.
And any of us could wind up there next week.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'm also saying this as a guy who is struggling to pay bills.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's, I understand that, you know, it's, you know, it's, it can be very hard, but, you know, it's just, my point is, you know, when people talk about, you know, whether or not if, you know, illegal immigrants are abusing these kind of programs, mm-hmm. I'm just simply saying, you know, whether or not that's the case, to be fair, there are a lot of people who abuse those programs regardless of race. It's
right.
Just,
it happens.
You know, it just happens.
It happens. I guess that. But I was speaking to the false narrative that illegal immigrants are eligible for these benefits.
They're not eligible. They do cheat. Some people do cheat, but it's just kind of like speeding. A lot of people speed or DWI, right. But we don't stop driving.
Exactly.
Right. So it's, you know, I think that when you, inclusiveness, I think, is how you kind of address some of that problem. When people don't have to live so far in the shadows. And Megan, you've been so quiet today. When people aren't so ostracized from the mainstream of community, I think that that's when you can use more peer pressure and more things to cut down on the lying, cheating, stealing.
And there are a lot of people on those programs who do need them.
Right.
I'm not saying anything against that.
Like, I've had to use Medicaid before.
Yeah.
Right.
No. I mean, and it saved me thousands of hospital
bills. I've been that mom who was suddenly divorced and needed benefits mm-hmm. just to get a new household going. So it's not, you know, unfortunately, because of the political climate, I think there has become even more shame attached to it mm-hmm. because, you know, we had a coworker here for a long time that knew that every single mom could just get, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 a month in food stamps and got a new car. And did you get your, you know, he went around the office asking people when Obama was elected, did you get your $2,500 for voting for Obama? And it's just, it's mythological. And mm-hmm. you kind of have to, you know, let's take the edge off a little bit and stop and think and take a breath. And when somebody tells you something, is it Walter Cronkite or Aunt Ethel?
Start seeing one another as human beings, folks, and instead of party divisions or you know how you love or who you worship or what you believe, you know, be kind to one another. Just be kind.
Sometimes that guy who just lost his job really needs that beer.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Hope you came through the election with your sanity intact. This is East Texas News Roundup. Thanks all my friends here, Fuzzy, Furry, Baldy, and Sweetie Megan. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.